Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
The co-creator and star of the hit Netflix TV series Adolescence, Steve Graham, has launched a new project asking fathers to write letters to their sons about what it means to be a man, to form a book about masculinity. Due to technology, Stephen Graham says, there is arguably an even bigger disconnect between fathers and sons than ever before. So to discuss all of this, I'm now joined on the line by comedian and father Joe McGuckin and comedian and father Steve Cummins. You are both very welcome to the show. Joe, I want to come to you first because I know you have two young sons aged just 7 and 4, and I know you were a bit reluctant to come on to the programme this evening and to talk about this. Why?
Because who am I to say what a good father is, I suppose. You know what I mean? I don't know. I felt unqualified to kind of speak on it.
But isn't that the whole point of it?
Yeah, well, I guess not to the nation. I mean, two kids, maybe. I can tell them how great of a dad I am. But like on national radio, it just kind of gave me a little bit, it just made me a little bit nervous. Because I don't think there is one answer that fits all to what a good father is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching an interview with Steve Graham and the actor Ethan Hawke. They were on the One Show, the BBC programme last week, talking about this new book, Letters to Our Sons. And in fairness, he says it's a lot more than just letters on how to be a man. He's asking fathers who want to find a way to say, I love you, to tell their sons what they mean to them, to write for this book too. And when Ethan Hawke was asked about it, he said, the real difficulty is that men, that fathers, he said, have this idealised version in their own heads of what the perfect father is. They sort of know, and then they're disappointed in themselves when they can't reach that and they push away. Do you relate to that? Do you understand that?
A little bit. I mean, you kind of always, I think you always compare yourself to your dad, and you want to do for your kids what you expected from your dad or your father. That might not match up because everyone's life and upbringing is just different. So it's, you know, it's just a complicated, complex relationship between young boys and the father. And I think if I read a letter that my dad wrote for me 20 years ago and I read it now, I'd probably cringe or something. I don't know how much it would resonate with kids anyway, the young teenage boys.
But is this something you're conscious of, Joe? Are you very conscious of having this particular relationship with your children, having this open communication with them? Is it something that you actively work on in perhaps a way that older generations didn't?
I think I try to spend more time, more quality time, and I try to do stuff with them on the weekend, but you still don't feel like you're doing enough. Still always a little bit of guilt that lingers around. You think that you could be doing a little bit more. I don't know.
Well, Steve, can I bring you in there? I know you also have two sons, 22 and 17, and I loved what you said. I have a fabulous relationship, a phenomenal relationship with your sons. Describe it to me. Describe your relationship with them.
Well, I just want to say, first of all, to Joe, right? Joe is at the perfect time now with a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. He can absolutely set the building blocks that will lead him to kind of like where I am today. And I know this sounds very self-serving, you know what I mean? That I have an incredible relationship with both my sons. Now, I've been very lucky. One, I think, genuinely, the first plus I had was I was reared without a father. Never knew my father, never knew anything about him. And my mother never dated or anything. So I was basically reared by you know, dads on TV, sitcom dads back in the, you know, in the 80s were like, you know, Family Ties and stuff, where dads always spent time with their kids. They listened to their kids. They sat down, they talked out their problems, blah, blah, blah. So that was kind of my first kind of foray into it. Then I worked with, up until I was 30, just in my early 30s, I worked with juvenile offenders and kids in care and stuff, teenage boys, like up in various parts of the world as well as here. And then when my first son was born, I took a year's career break to be the stay-at-home dad just for the first year of his life and started doing comedy as a hobby. And I loved being a stay-at-home dad, loved comedy started kind of taking off. So I've been in the position where I've been at home with the boys ever since they were babies. So I do the school runs and the, you know, cooking the meals and doing the laundry and wiping the wiping the noses and kissing the boo-boos and all that. So I really was blessed in the amount of time I got to spend with my kids, right, with my sons. But I think the main reason I have such a great relationship with them is from, and this is why I want to bring back Joe for this one, because Joe's kids are 4 and 7. When my kids were little, it didn't matter what sort of rubbish they wanted to talk to me about, whether it was Moshi Monsters or Pokemon cards or something they saw or something they heard, I would go, cool, tell me. I really want to hear this, right? And I'd sit and listen. And when you open those lines of communication when they're really small and keep them open, when they're teenagers, then they'll talk to you about much bigger things, much more important things. And you can then be a good role model through those. So to answer your question, I know I take an age to answer a question, but what my relationship with my sons looks like is, I always considered my biggest job, whatever about comedy and all the other different things I do, was to be the best possible father I could be and rear two good, decent, strong young men. And that's precisely what I have. Now, they're both towering over me, but we talk all the time. My eldest was in Prague for a year. He rang me maybe every second day, just like, he was, you know, I'm coming from the gym or I'm just about to wait for the tram for college. I'll have a quick chat with dad, because they're used to that. And because of that, I mean, how blessed am I? I mean, I literally get to hear about the minutiae of their lives still, all thanks to being from when they were kids.
And you talk about being a good role model for them. But to go back to something even Joe was saying, you know, how do you know how to be a good dad? You know, these kids come into our lives and there isn't any book. There are no directions. Most of us feel we're bringing it every day. But a lot of us were able to look up at our old parents and say, well, you did a pretty good job. I like the way I was reared. So if I emulate you, you know, I should be pretty successful here. You didn't have that. So did it just come naturally to you? Or was it, as you say, you watched television and you picked up some good dad tips?
The TV dads, you know, modern television and modern movies, the heroes have feet of clay. You know what I mean? You want to make it more gritty and real. So sometimes the dad's terrible or sometimes the dad screws up or sometimes what have you. Whereas it wasn't like that. Everything was like sunshine and roses in the 80s. So everything looked really good and kind of really, you know, nice and warm. But the thing is, everyone knows how to be a good parent. Absolutely every one of us does. It's dead simple. You know, love your child more than yourself, which you pretty much guaranteed to do from the moment they appear in your lap, or at least within a couple of years. But two, it's like, okay, I want my kids to obviously to do better than I did in life, and I want to make their life as easy as possible. So to be a good dad, give them the skills and the life skills and make your home so safe and warm and lovely for them that they are strong enough, they feel safe to fly off out of the nest, knowing they can always come back to the nest and, you know, their parents will be waiting for them with big smiles on their faces. Like the two things I always push both of my sons into doing, and I know it sounds very kind of blasé, I didn't matter whatever sport they wanted to take part in, absolutely, all that sort of thing. But the two things I insisted they learn how to do was learn how to swim and learn how to fight, right? As in learn how to defend themselves. Both boys went into Taekwondo. Both boys practically lived in the sea because they're amazing life skills that will take you around the world. And then just take those thoughts and then just break it down to others. What other life skill do I want them to have? I want them to be the sort of adult that doesn't talk in the cinema. So I'm going to teach them that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's really annoying.
I want them to be... Well, exactly. But, you know, I want to rear... I know what I've done. I know I've reared both my sons to be good men. I see it every day.
I want to go back to you, Joe, and just bring in a text message we've just received from one of our listeners. You don't really appreciate your role as a good father until they're reared. Before that, what you're doing is rearing them with your fingers crossed, hoping that you're making the right decisions. Hard to analyse yourself when you're in the thick of it. So I think that's probably where you and I are at. You're sleep deprived. you're working hard, you're trying to run a decent home life and raise these children as best they can, but hopefully when we get out the other end, we'll realise we've done a good job. One of the things that Stephen Graham said is that he feels that the disconnect is growing even bigger than it would have been perhaps in previous generations, and he puts that down to technology. Does that worry you, Joe?
Yeah, big time. And just to respond to, like, it's different, completely different times. I think he's privileged to be able to kind of, not Stephen Graham, sorry, our other guest, in a privileged position to be able to take
that time out,
the role of a full-time father, stay-at-home father. Whereas people are like really struggling to pay their rents and pay their mortgages. They have multiple jobs, so they don't even get time to spend with our kids. And the time that they do spend, they're probably exhausted, they're stressed out. So you have that. And then you're also competing against technology, social media. All of these different elements come into so it's uncharted territory, really. We don't know what the result is going to be until 15 years down the line, 10 years down the line.
I have more texts coming in here. No dad sets out to be a bad father, but some are just better at it than others. It doesn't mean they are the ones who didn't just try. Another texter, I had a father who didn't do too much parenting. That didn't stop me actively parenting and being a good dad. And Lorraine says, your guest, Steve, has nailed perfect parenting. Listen to them and talk to them about the little things. Steve, do you think your boys would appreciate a letter if you sat down and wrote what they meant to you, how you feel about them, and that last bit, which seems to be so important to Stephen Graham, how to be a good man in the 21st century?
Well, of course, I mean, if you can, anytime you communicate to your kids that you love them and that you're proud of them, whether it's you're walking past them in the hall or whether you sit down and write them a letter, whether you put it in a birthday card, that's amazing for them. You know, I mean, it's all the more positive kind of messages you can give to your kids when they've earned them. Like, not just you're the most wonderful creature in the world, no matter what you do. But, you know, when your kids are doing really well and you tell them and they know that you're proud of them and they know that you love them. And just to address Joe's point there, just very quickly, I guess what he's saying, you know, that I was privileged to work to be the stay-at-home dad. We were broke for 15 years. Properly throughout the height of the Celtic Tiger, when people were, you know, just going to New York four times a year, we didn't. We had to really tighten our belts. As a boss, privileged is just the wrong word, and that kind of annoyed me. But I'm definitely lucky, very lucky, that I was able to kind of work in such a way that I was able to earn enough money at night that during the day I could be at home with the kids. But yeah, if you can message your children as often as you can, no kid is ever going to get sick of you telling them you're proud of them and you love them.
Lovely advice there. Look, I'd love to hear from our listeners on this. The WhatsApp is 087 1400 106 or text us 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. What would you put in your book if you're writing to your son, letters to our sons? What would you tell them about parenting, about your feelings towards them, and about how to be a good man? We'd love to hear from you on that.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.